Hi, I'm Delaney Turner with IBM. Welcome to part two of my exclusive interview with Howard Dresner. In part one, we explored the concept, core components, and benefits of building a performance-directed culture. Here in part two, we're going to learn about the performance culture maturity model, what it is, how it works, and how you can use it as a roadmap to build that culture to drive better business results in your organization. Now, you've designed a performance culture maturity model. Could you walk us through its elements and how a company might use it?
Yes. There are six different criteria and four levels of achievement, if you will. And the six criteria can be broken down into three groups, strategic, operational, and technical. And then the four levels really talk about the maturity of the organization across those things.
Okay.
So the six criteria, I'll just sort of go through them very briefly,
sure.
Would be that alignment with mission,
mm-hmm.
Followed by transparency and accountability, conflict resolution, insight on action,
mm-hmm.
as I mentioned briefly before, and then the two technical ones really deal with data. They deal with trust in the data,
mm-hmm.
and the availability and currency of the information.
Okay.
And those are the only two areas of technology that I focus on in the book because they are important and they're key enablers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the four levels deal with, you know, how mature are you against those six different criteria. Starting at the bottom, which I call, you know, chaos reigns.
Right.
That's not pretty.
Not pretty.
The next is where most organizations tend to find themselves in, and that's departmental optimization.
Okay.
And above that, you start to see the next level, which is the emergence of a performance-directed culture. And then at the pinnacle, if you will,
yeah.
you have the performance-directed culture realized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you read the book, you'll see that organizations tend to, you know, be all over the map,
yeah.
right? In some instances, they may have already achieved a performance-directed culture. In other areas, they
mm-hmm.
may not be as evolved. It's a work in process. I don't think any organization will ever achieve the high scores or the highest scores in all six of those categories.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they did, we'll at some point probably move the bar higher.
Right.
So,
right.
It's more of a journey than a destination.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also worth noting that in some instances, organizations, as they progress, have setbacks.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have a setback. And what I've done with the case studies is I've actually mapped these organizations' progress over time as they evolve. And you'll see, based on certain events that unfold, they may actually regress in certain dimensions, and that's okay. But if you don't understand that,
mm-hmm.
if you don't realize that as you make progress, sometimes you take a step back.
Yeah.
You may become disillusioned and characterize your efforts as a failure.
Right.
And cease and desist, right? Or you lose funding. You know, those things sometimes happen if
mm-hmm.
you don't have the broader context. So the model is a really useful tool to do an assessment of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we today?
Right.
As I took many of them through the exercise, you would find that there was general disagreement
right.
when you asked them how they were doing against the, you know, the performance culture maturity model.
Right, right.
The truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would go in and survey many, many of the different managers and their direct reports and ultimately, you know, develop a deeper understanding based on those conversations and the resulting ranking.
Mm-hmm.
Very often, not always, very often would be very different than what anybody had thought it would be. The next step for any organization reading the book would be
mm-hmm.
to find themselves in one or multiple of the case studies.
Right.
And take a look at that and say, okay, well, this is what I can expect in terms of my evolutionary path.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I need to be doing. This is what I need to be looking for within my organization, and here's who I need to be talking to
mm-hmm.
Within my organization, and then come up with their own roadmap for moving forward. It should also be noted that in just about every case, these organizations sought outside help.
Now, you were writing this and researching this book through a major economic downturn or meltdown. You could pick your favorite word there. Did the crisis change your thinking about performance management or what you were looking for?
I think that my book helps organizations take control of their destiny and really addresses the issue of self-determination. And you can actually be very profitable, very productive, and take greater control than you ever have been able to do before. So the point is, by embracing performance-directed culture, organizations have much greater control over their own destiny because they have a better understanding, not only an understanding of the forces that are impacting them, but they have more levers to control their behavior and their ability to deal with those forces than ever before.
What is the first thing you recommend a company do if, after they've heard this, they want in? Where do they start this journey?
Well, I think the first thing, as I mentioned before, is by taking the maturity model.
Right.
And start to socialize it with their colleagues, not only within their own department, but beyond their own department. Now, the problem is, in so many organizations, we don't talk to the other functions. And that's kind of funny. It's, I mentioned this in the book. We tend to be tribal creatures. It's just how we're wired. We like working in small groups where we have a common view of the world. So today, if we bring that up to date, we've got the finance tribe. We've got the sales tribe, and we've got, perhaps the operations tribe. And we don't like to work with, in fact, very often, not only do we not like to work with the other ones, we view them as adversaries.
Yeah, it comes up a lot.
With sales likes to blame R&D, and R&D is going to, blame finance. And everybody likes to point the finger at the other one for their own lack of achievement. And that means we need to start breaking down some of those barriers and actually talk to them and realize that we're all part of the same organization and that everything we do in our function affects everything else that the organization does, either directly or indirectly.
Right.
So we need to break down some of those barriers and then use some of these tools as a way to have a conversation about our own organization. And we already know that there are organizations that have done this that are functioning very well as a performance-directed culture. So it's not like this is theoretical. And that's the reason we have these, four very in-depth case studies within the book.
Right.
And I would say that if you go through this process and you rank yourself as already a performance-directed culture, you've clearly missed something. there are very few of them. And if you really find that you are at the top, give me a call because I might include you in the next book.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is you have that discussion, and hopefully it's a frank and honest discussion, and then you start to, once again, use the case studies to say, all right, we're one of these. Well, our greatest strength is here, and maybe we want to drive this or can drive this from IT, or maybe we want to drive this from the business operations. And as a result, here's the progress or the evolution that we can probably expect over time. And as a result, we'll need these other conditions to be present. And how will we approach that? How will we make those things happen now that we have this new awareness? And then what resources, internal or external perhaps, can we bring to bear to help us accelerate the process?
Well, I guess the upside of the, even if you find yourself in the low end of the scale, the upside from the case studies is that every organization can change regardless of what the challenges it's facing.
That's absolutely true. And some of the organizations that I studied did start off in the chaos category.
Right. Well, this has been absolutely enlightening and a rare pleasure. Howard Dresner, thanks for speaking with us today.
Delaney, thanks for the opportunity to share some of my thoughts with you.
You've been listening to an exclusive interview with performance management author and consultant Howard Dresner, brought to you by IBM Cognos Software, enabling better business decisions for better business performance. Learn more about our performance management software and solutions online at ibm.com/cognos.